The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Imagine you've had a serious accident. You live in a rural area of the country, miles from the nearest emergency department. You need help and you need it now. And you know that when an ambulance arrives, there's only so much the onboard paramedic can do, and it'll take time to get to the hospital. So, is there a better way? One woman says there is a better way. It's a system already used in England, in Scotland, in Wales and in Northern Ireland. It's called HEMS. Lisa Cunningham is a consultant in emergency medicine and a qualified pre-hospital physician. She joins us now to take us through it. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. You are a consultant in emergency medicine and you're also a pre-hospital physician. We'll talk about those in a moment. But what's your normal job?
Well, my normal job is that I work in the emergency department in Mayo University Hospital. I've been a consultant there now permanent since October, but I've been there for the last 3 years. And I work over and back in the UK at Links & Knots Air Ambulance as a pre-hospital physician as well.
Now, what does being a pre-hospital physician mean?
Yeah, so that's a doctor that has trained in pre-hospital emergency medicine, which is a subspecialty of our normal specialty of emergency medicine or anaesthetics as well. So done extra training in everything that we can apply in the pre-hospital field. So when somebody has a trauma such as falling off a ladder, attacked by a bull, a road traffic collision, we bring our resuscitation skills that we have learned in the emergency department out to the patient in the pre-hospital field.
So typically, are you in an ambulance or are you in a helicopter?
Yeah, both. So we are normally based on the helicopter. So we fly from 7 a.m. till 2 a.m. So there's two split shifts on that rotation. Or if the weather is very, very bad in the middle of winter, say, for example, we are on the rapid response vehicle. So it's an RRV. So it's not necessarily an ambulance, which listeners may see the box ambulance. So it's a rapid response vehicle where we carry all our equipment on it. So yeah, the two.
Now, what kind of things can you do on the side of the road that would probably be administered in a hospital if you guys couldn't get there?
The most common thing that we would do, that we would bring the skill set that we have, the critical care skill set, would be something like an ORA-SI, which is an emergency intubation where we put somebody into what the public may know as a medical-induced coma. So we would put somebody under general anaesthetic into that medical-induced coma at the side of the road. That's normally done for numerous reasons, but mainly to protect the brain for oxygenation, for their lungs, etc. The other examples that we do would be to give blood transfusions at the side of the road as well. So that would be something that we would do regularly. We have blood products with us, whole bloods, and we also have plasma and platelets. So these are all different products that are in the emergency department. We actually administer them at the side of the road. Then there are probably other halo events, which is what we call them, high acuity, low occurrence, which will be things like maybe if somebody was stabbed in the chest, not necessarily from a knife, but also if they've had a road traffic collision and maybe one of their ribs is actually piercing their heart and their heart stops beating, we could actually open up their chest. So we do surgery, cardiac surgery at the side of the road to be able to remove that and be able to help get their heart beating again. And that's something that will be a halo event, but is something that unfortunately we do see quite a number of times a year. And that skill set has been absolutely perfected and honed over the last 10 years.
Now, this would contrast with what a paramedic on an ambulance or even in a helicopter ambulance would be able to do, because you guys are qualified doctors with very specialist skills.
Yes, but I think, Pat, we work actually in the UK with critical care paramedics. So these are paramedics in the UK system that has actually gone through master's program in critical care. So we actually work as a team with them. And that's actually a really important part, because the skill set that I can bring as a doctor, the skill set that a critical care paramedic can bring, and also the skill set that a pilot can bring, because we're actually four people on our team to actually come to the assistance of the ground crews or the paramedics that are on the road and the patient. It's a team dynamic that we have. So that's the way I kind of look at it, and my colleagues would look at it, is that we're actually a multidisciplinary team that will come to the assistance of a patient that needs the critical care input. In Ireland, no, that doesn't exist.
Now, how many lives might you save because you're able to do this kind of pre-hospital care, which normally, as I say, you'd have to wait for arrival into the hospital before this kind of care could be administered, maybe to, you know, giving a blood transfusion to somebody and even opening someone's chest. How many lives do you reckon you save every year in your team?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I really can't. I actually can't answer that from an actual figure. But what we can say is that we know that the interventions that we do within the first hour of that patient's critical time that they need those injuries addressed and interventions done has a huge reduction on their death, on their morbidity in the long term. But if we were to, I mean, there's a group of us that are together of international HEMS consultants, pilots and critical care paramedics, all Irish, but actually I'm probably the only person that's actually in Ireland, working in Ireland. The rest of my colleagues are all abroad. We've been looking at this over the last 2 years and, you know, extrapolating numbers from all our different systems that we work in and trying to apply it to the Irish model. We would reckon that there could be an extra 350 to 400 people saved per year of unexpected survivors on top of all the extra bits and pieces that we could do to patients at the side of the road. Now, that's been 2 years of kind of trying to extrapolate data from where we work and actually apply to an Irish population. But the Irish population, we can't really get that much data to do it. So that's just a ballpark figure of what we could do in Ireland.
Now, people will talk about maybe less than 200 road deaths a year. So you're obviously talking about other traumas besides the accidents that happen on the road. And of course, some lives are saved by whatever is currently being done. But HEMS stands for Helicopter Emergency Medical Systems. But as you pointed out, it doesn't always mean a helicopter.
No, not necessarily. The helicopter will get the crew to the actual scene, and it's the composition of that crew and the skill set of the crew that could be able to be delivered. So that's actually the only function really of the helicopter. Where I work in Links and Knots, it's two counties that we cover, probably about 1 million people. But to get from one side of one county to the other side of the county where our major trauma system is our centre is 2 hours by road. So therefore, if you had somebody that would have an accident and like that, it's a farming area that we actually work in quite a bit. So we get quite a lot of farmyard accidents. We do get road traffic collisions. People on a beautiful day like today going up and trying to do their gutters, etc. So it's not necessarily just road traffic collisions. Mm. We can actually fly quickly to them to administer that emergency critical care. And actually often we will transport them by road to the major trauma centre. It's not necessarily that we have to fly everybody. Yeah. The main difference that we do is actually we get the skill set that the patient needs to their side quickly rather than waiting to try and get them into the hospital.
Okay.
To get that
so that's interesting because I assumed that it would be about getting the patient quickly, you know, stabilise them, getting them quickly to the hospital. But in fact, the real use of the helicopter is getting you there with your skill set and your teams, getting you there quickly and then doing it all as best you can on the roadside before you even think about moving the patient.
Yes, because if that patient has to wait another 2 hours to actually get and cross the threshold of an emergency department to then get the skill set as myself as a consultant in emergency medicine or a consultant in anesthesiology, I mean, that 2 hours, I mean, the huge amount of damage and delay, and if they even survive to cross that threshold of 2 hours. And, you know, I think it's a different model, it's a different idea of thinking of that. This has come on so much in the last 15 years in the UK. First air ambulance over the UK was actually set up about 30 years ago. And they had different models and different functions. But really in the last 15 years, the trauma system model, and this is only patients who are affected by trauma, such as a car crash or a fall off ladder. We're not really talking about the medical emergencies such as cardiac arrest yet. That is absolutely some of our cohort. We probably have 60% medical emergencies and 40% trauma emergencies. So this is something that we are not waiting for that patient to cross the threshold of an emergency department, because as I live in Mayo, there's only one emergency department and it can take you at least an hour and a half to get from one end of the county to come in across that threshold.
So that's what happens in Britain, in your particular two counties that you operate in. Is that an NHS service or how is it funded?
So in the UK, split up to the different countries, England is charity only. Scotland actually have government funded and a charity. Wales, which is probably the one that we compare ourselves mostly to, is NHS mainly plus charity. And then Northern Ireland is charity and government funded as well, so NHS funded. So they have kind of a combination of it. Norway, which is another country that we actually would compare ourselves quite regularly to, especially with the road traffic collision and the data that's come out from Europe about that, they are a fully functional government operated service. It is not charity. And now, they are positioned staffed, doctor staffed.
Putting together a HEMS service here for the 26 counties, and I'm sure there would be cooperation across the border that could be organised. What currently happens if someone has one of these traumas, a medical trauma from a road traffic accident? Typically, what would happen now? I mean, would a helicopter be deployed if it was in a very out-of-the-way place to bring the patient to the emergency department? What would happen to them on the side of the road?
To be honest, Pat, it's actually quite ad hoc. And I live in and work in Mayo and seeing road traffic collisions and trying to find out about the resources. There's three main resources that they have for helicopters. One is based in Athlone, it's the military. One is the search and rescue, which is normally based out in Sligo for ourselves. And then there is it's a government funded helicopter down in Cork. So the only one really that we would probably access in Mayo would be the military if they're able to come down. But again, it determines on whether they're able to fly, whether they're based on another job, or the search and rescue. But the search and rescue have a primary function of actually out do marine and do not primary HEMS. So to be honest, it's very ad hoc about what we can actually achieve for a patient in the west of Ireland. We would love to think that that's actually what would happen, is that they could get a helicopter straight away. But even the skill set that are on the helicopters now, remember I said this, it's actually about the skill set that's on it, that's delivered, is actually very, very similar just to a ground ambulance that's there. So it will give you the rapidity of time to get an advanced paramedic there who have a skill set. But really, in the last 15 years, we know that the critical skills that are needed for a patient now with these traumas and medical emergencies are kind of outstripped now by the organisation that actually supplies them. So you might get an ad hoc response of a helicopter that might come. Certainly in my experience in the last 3 years in Mayo University Hospital, it's ad hoc about whether we can get a helicopter, whether they're able to fly. They're based probably in Athlone. They may be off at another job, etc. And I don't think anybody's actually looking at to see the missed jobs and the missed opportunities where we could actually have a little bit more of them.
So if one of those helicopters, be it from Sligo or from Athlone, were to be deployed to see someone on the side of the road that is in your catchment area, would they come to Mayo General and pick up those skills? Or would they go directly with their own paramedic skills on board without interfacing with you guys?
Yes, they will go directly to scene without picking me up or anything like that. No.
So they would be...
The paramedic and the advanced paramedic that's already there.
They would be limited by the skill set that is on board the helicopter as it's deployed. Now, if, for example, you happen to be nearby and you manage to catch a lift on the helicopter, could you utilise your pre-hospital physician skills, would that be permitted for you to administer blood, open up someone's chest on the side of the road, put someone into an induced coma? Would that be permitted?
So yes and no. So we don't carry blood in the pre-hospital in Ireland, so the blood wouldn't be available full stop. However, I will give you an example of, I'm on the cardiac first responder group for our local area, and I actually respond voluntarily with the charity Critical to be able to go to these things. So I think about a year and a half ago, we had a 15-year-old cardiac arrest, 1-5, just probably about 5 miles away from me. So I saw the text alert come in. So I went to it. CFR group was there. The advanced paramedic was there. And actually, the helicopter had come from Sligo as well. Now, I would know quite a lot of the pre-hospital personnel in Ireland anyways. And it was very clear that this girl needed to be put into the medical induced coma. So I had to, you know, just make sure that everybody was okay, that this was the plan that we were going to do, because this will be so not done in Ireland. However, the advanced paramedics were there, were just absolutely amazing. So we done the interventions that needed to do. We flew the girl to Galway, and she survived absolutely fine, and we've met her afterwards. And we kind of, myself and the advanced paramedics there, we were saying, this is the journey of that patient that started from when she had that cardiac arrest on the road all the way right through. That's what the standard of care should be in Ireland. However, that was just a good evening that we could have had.
Okay, so if you extrapolate from that, I mean, who knows if that care had not been given, what would have happened to that 15-year-old? But happy ending there. How many other happy endings might we have if we had this HEM service?
So like I said at the beginning, when we extrapolated that out, we could actually say that potentially there is a potential of surviving for 350 to 400 patients per year on top of what we could do for patients that are there, such as getting blood, stabilize them, put them into that medical induced coma to help with their brain function, to protect their brain when they've had a traumatic brain injury. That will be a very common injury that patients have from trauma in the pre-hospital. Not necessarily just trauma. When somebody comes back from a cardiac arrest, they've been a lack of oxygen getting through their brain, so they need to have that protected.
So that will be just to be clearly, so we are talking about people who've had an event, whether it's a traffic accident or some brain trauma, that could, if not treated, they mightn't die from it, and therefore they won't make the road traffic act, that they won't make the road traffic statistics, but their quality of life could be far reduced by not getting the care on the side of the road.
Absolutely. And the rehabilitation, the morbidity that will be associated with the ongoing that happens with them. And the road traffic collision statistics, and I can be stand to be corrected here, but they would actually only go up to 30 days, I think, post event, so that if they've died past that, they actually don't get counted for the numbers of that. And realistically, there are patients that will have such a bumpy ride throughout their journey in relation to their medicine, their physiology, that they may very well pass away after that. But no, the morbidity, their quality of life, their rehabilitation, there's many people that will end up going to a rehabilitation center that would have 2 or 3 years learning how to walk again because of a brain injury that may have been caused from a lack of oxygen that we could have been able to help in the beginning. We see this in the UK, and this is probably why I'm speaking out about this so much now, because I am getting a little bit frustrated. When I go over back to the UK, and I go over back every 5 or 6 weeks, it's quite okay for me to go over from Knock to East Midlands to do this. I come across the same patients in the UK, and I know the treatment that we give as a system over there. And then when I come back to Ireland, I'm waiting for that patient to cross the threshold and hear about the road traffic collision or the injuries that have happened at the pre-hospital. And I'm waiting and thinking, well, an hour ago, I could have had this patient with blood. I could have had X, Y, and Z. And seeing that comparison is really, really, it drives me and it frustrates me as well.
You are uniquely placed, given that you do both jobs, both in the hospital setting with Mayo General and also with the UK in the HEMS service there. So what would you like to see here, Lisa, in an ideal world, if the HSE was listening?
It's not what I would like. It's what needed to happen, Pat, to be honest with you. There's a group of us that have been harping on about this for 6 or 7 years. The skill sets that are needed at the pre-hospital at this moment in time outstrips the organisation. Allow the doctors to be able to be on that aircraft, on the rapid response vehicles to administer the critical skills. And I know you said that I'm placed uniquely with this, but actually there's a good few of us here. There's another doctor over Wicklow. There's another doctor that's down in Cork, and they travel over and back to the UK as well. There's another doctor that's finishing his fellowship, the same one I done 3 years ago over at Essex and Hearts as well. There's so many of us that are there. I'm the only one basically placed in Ireland that's probably going over back and, you know, talking a little bit more about it. But I promise you that if there was an option for this, we would be able to fill the posts. In Wales, they actually done this. They had a massive recruitment drive. So they done NHS and charity. And actually, they recruited 12 new consultants into the hospitals. And it could be absolutely used as a recruitment drive for Ireland as well. And it would be absolutely fantastic to get more quality, more skill for that patient in the pre-hospital that we know is absolutely evidence-based that will help them on their journey.
Lisa, Dr. Lisa Cunningham, who's a consultant in emergency medicine in Mayo University Hospital and also working on the HEMS service in England. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks very much.
Roll over Wednesday, roll over Thursday. So if you entered after 5 o'clock on Tuesday, you're still in to win, but you must know today's total, and it's a must win this afternoon. €80,543.06. To enter, text play to 57557 before 3 this afternoon. Then after 3, randomly, we'll make that call. If it happens to be to your phone, answer it within 5 rings, tell us the total, and you get the money. And if you don't answer your phone, we'll keep dialing until we find our winner. The cost is €2.50 plus your standard message rate. It's for over 18s only. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms on newstalk.com. But remember, today's must-win total, €80,543.06. Text play to 57557. Lots of calls coming in on HEMS. It makes sense that treating people on the side of the road with a specialist team would be better than a hospital, given that hospitals are like war zones and you might wait many hours to be triaged. It prompts the question about whether it's the best use of scarce resources. In the hours that it would take to fly to them and administer care, a consultant might see 20 or more patients in a hospital. That's from Owen in Monkstown. We're a wealthy country and should be investing in emergency field medicine. The UK is streets ahead of us. We need to catch up. Why have we not got 4 or 5 HEMS helicopters across the country, yet we put $8 billion into the rainy day fund? Seriously, not thinking through what we do in this country. More of a certain class wanting to reassure their future pensions, I'm sorry to suspect. That's from Mick. Someone else says, don't forget the East Cork Rapid Response and the West Cork Rapid Response, run by absolutely super medics. And lots more where that came from. Now, coming up later, we'll be talking about the weekend sport, and there is a lot in store. But next up, we'll be looking at the second-hand market in electric vehicles.